six, and she went to the pastor of the church where she went to in America and asked if she could serve in the Sunday school. And he says, no, you're too old. So she was really dejected and went home, and she was in a garden tending her roses, and this young Chinese person came past and was saying, what lovely roses. And she started talking to this person and invited them in for a cup of tea. Anyway, over the next day he came back and brought another friend with him. Anyway, when she died, there were 70 young Chinese people came to her funeral, and they'd all been born again. So God used her, even though she couldn't be used for Sunday school, he used her for something else. And then I know all these ministries these Christian ministries that we hear about, they have people waiting on phones either to pray for you or answer your calls if you want products and that. And there was this lady, she phoned this number in America, and she says to this man, is there anything I can pray for you about? So he says, well, yes. He says, my sister's married to this man, and he's beating her up and the children, and I'm going round to kill him. So she says, oh, well, I'll pray for you. Anyway, she prayed for him, and he got the peace back into his life. Anyway, he says, how did you get my number? So she says, well, you probably phoned in the office and phoned for something, and we've kept your number. He says, no. He says, I only got this cell phone this morning, and nobody else knows the number yet. So our God's an awesome God. Amen. He knew the number.
If you can play it for us before we read the Word of God, please. And cause it to bear more fruit and to sustain us in this journey toward heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. I've learned from the Hebrew culture something that I do cherish. When in the synagogue or in the temple, they want to read the Word of God, they all stand up to honor the Word. If you read the Word sitting, it's not a sin, but just a way of honoring the Word of God. So I would ask you to stand up, please. Genesis chapter 15. It's all about God's covenant with Abraham. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur and the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer and 3-year-old female goat and 3-year-old ram, a totled dove and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite to other, but he did not cut the bird in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Ammonite is not yet complete." And it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. We can stop there. Amen. May God bless his word. You may be seated. The Lord led to my heart this scripture, and I felt like him asking me to share today with you and to tell you that you are a covenant people. He made a covenant with you. That covenant was sealed with your reply, your positive reply to his call, your obedience to him, accepting Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and secondly, by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus. I was listening to a song with Andy in the car in the morning, and the song is talking about God's favor. And the singer said that God's favor is more than life. If you don't have God's favor, it doesn't matter if you have everything that one can desire here on earth, but your earthly life is meaningless. You are like a chicken that is born today, and after a few days, they slaughter it and put it on the market. Because our life here on earth is very short. There is more than what we live in here on earth. Eternal life is waiting. And we won't miss it for anything here on earth. Well, Abraham was in a covenant with God. And today we're calling him the father of faith. It was a great privilege to him, a privilege that even his forefather did not get, to have that personal relationship with God, to be in covenant with God. It was a great privilege. In spite of that privilege of being in covenant with God, he was a human being. He went through experiences and challenges that me and you today, in one way or another, we're facing, we're going through. To be in covenant with God cannot exclude challenges in your life. They will be there. But the beauty of it, you're not alone. God is with you. So here we read, and I would like you to pay attention to the time, how things were unfolded. Pay attention to the time. After these things, the word of God, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. God can visit you as we share in His word right now and put something of eternal impact in your life, in your heart. And that will create in you what we call vision or dream. And once you have a vision, a dream in life, your life has a purpose. You are not like an animal that is just there, living, eating, sleeping. You are there with a purpose. You know what you have to achieve here on earth. You know what you have to do for you to leave a legacy for the generations to come. And that's where covenant people have advantage to those who are in the world, because they just follow the dreams. They try this, they try this, they try that. Whatever succeed, then they stick on it. But for us, we have a relationship with God. Of course, we can try different things. But once in our relationship with God, we get that revelation that my child, oh, my daughter, this is what I want you to do, to achieve before you leave this earth. And that's it. You hold on to it and you pay the price to see it fulfilled and happen. God visited Abraham through a vision. A vision can happen to you in daylight. You're not asleep. A bar, like an image, the Lord presents you a vision. You see how things will be happening in the future, a near future or a far future. And you can get a vision through a dream. You're fast asleep and the Lord visits you. As for Abraham here, he got the Lord visitation through a vision. Was it in the night? Was it in the daylight? We'll get there. But the first thing the Lord is telling him, do not be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Believe me, when I was reading this, I felt like the Lord is telling these same words He told Abraham to me. And as in the message for all of us, I believe that is what the Lord is telling you today. I don't know what is happening in your life. I don't know the kind of challenges you're facing in your life. But He's telling you, do not be afraid. He's your shield and your exceedingly great reward. realize that the one who's saying that is God. Well, maybe God is very light. God is the one who is the object of all adoration. But in my Bible here, the one who visited Abraham, the Bible says, the word of the Lord. Lord was translated from Adonai. And Adonai is more than Lord. I don't know if last time I spoke about it here. Adonai is the Lord, the person who's God's subject, and those subjects depend on Him. The happiness, the welfare, the health, everything depends on the Lord. If somebody in the court of a Lord is ill, the Lord is concerned. If he's poor and struggling, the outsider will not really look at the person, at the subject. They will look at the Lord and say, "Ooh, he's not taking good care of his subject." So here, God is called Adonai, the Lord. And Adonai is the word which is in plural. And plural in Hebrew is an emphasis to something that deserves magnificent. Plural also in Hebrew is a way of putting a line, highlighting something that cannot lie, cannot fail. I hope you are with me. So, the one who visited Abraham and the one in whom presence we are this afternoon, he's Adonai, he's our Lord. And he's saying to us today, do not be afraid. Adonai is our shield. Adonai is our great reward. So, our health depends on him. Our social security depends on him. And we know that he is the Almighty One. There is nothing that is impossible to him. He can do what he promised. He can deliver what he promised. Because, after all, he created everything. So, Abraham, in his covenant with God, he trusted in the one that he called Adonai, or Lord. I wish if in our English Bibles the translation was accurate. Because Adonai, you have to translate it as Lord, 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 three times. You have to say it, Lord, 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 when it comes to the Hebrew. That's the one who was trusted by Abraham. Interestingly, look at verse 2. The Bible says, but Abraham said, Lord God, or Adonai God, or Lord, Lord, Lord God. What will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. He tried to help God. Remember, he was in covenant with God. But it's curious to see that he couldn't have a child, in spite of all the favor he received from Adonai. When I was a young preacher, I remember telling people, just believe in Jesus, everything will be all right. And I meant it. As if when you become a Christian, all the sufferings are finished, all the miseries finished, everything starts one by one. Po, 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 po. You need a car, you get it. You need a plane, you get it. And everything. Just like that. And I came to learn that, no, it's not like that. Abraham, with all that favor with God, he was short of something. He loved dearly his wife. And both Abraham and Sarah wanted to get a child, at least someone that they would call the heir. But they waited on the Lord, and that was not happening. Maybe you've been waiting for long. I don't know. You have needs. You have things that you were expecting to see God's hand moving in your life. It might be in your health. It might be in your family. I don't know. But each one of us has something that he's expecting to see God doing something. But maybe your case is like Abraham's case. It has taken long. And for Abraham, he got to the conclusion. He said, okay, you remain my Lord, even though you did not give me a child. It's amazing. There is no rebellion in him. In spite of being childless, he continued to trust in God. He continued to love God. He kept that relationship with him. He said, okay, I'm your subject. You decide not to give me a child? Okay, fair enough. I'm suffering with it, but I won't go anywhere. I remain your subject. And according to the culture of the time, yes, it was a shame to die without having a son to whom you can leave the heritage. And what those who were unable to have a son, but they have daughters, were doing, according to the culture, the firstborn daughter was automatically, according to the law of the time, the heir of all the possessions. And if you were childless, then manage to get somebody in your family, a child born in the family there, in your house, that can be your heir. And this is what Abraham did. He said, okay, even though I wanted to have my own son and pass on the heritage, that did not happen because you didn't allow it. So Eliezer, he was born in my house, he'll be the one. In verse 4, the Lord came to him saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." There is a conflict here. Biologically, Abraham was old. He could not expect to produce a child. In Romans, the Bible says that his body was good as dead. Thus was his wife's womb. Good as dead. God says that Eliezer, forget about him. Your heir is the one that will come from your own body. Even though you and people around you can see your body as good as dead, but I will cause it to produce a son. The miracle will happen. When you go to chapter 16, you see that Sarah's patience got to the limit. She couldn't wait no longer. She brought a second shortcut, asking Abraham to go with her servant Hagar, and unfortunately Abraham accepted that suggestion, that shortcut, and Ishmael was born. And today, we are living the consequences of that shortcut. My brother, my sister, be aware. Never produce an Ishmael. The war in your life and the generations will be endless. Don't produce an Ishmael. I was talking to a friend. He told me what a friend of his, who is a pastor in London, did to produce an Ishmael. In the church, people were not giving. They were bringing coins in the offering basket. And the church was struggling to pay the rent and stuff. So what they did, they took the offering basket and put it in a place where you don't have easy access. So what you have to do is to throw your money there. And when you throw coins, they're going to make noise. So people not cause the love of God and they bring in the offering as an act of worship to the Lord, they start bringing good offering just to cover their own shame. So they're not giving out of their heart. Something connected and attached to their heart. Deep inside their heart, they wish to give coins like they used to. But due to that Ishmael that was there at the front, they bring notes and they put them and go back to the seat in style. Not filled with shame. And I told my friend, I said, that guy has produced an Ishmael. Because he went beyond what the Bible is asking us to do. If people they don't want to bring good offering in the house of the Lord, just pray and ask God to touch them and to meet the needs of the church in other ways. And they're going to bear their own consequence of worshiping God that they are not able to honor and worship with their own offerings. So that money, though it's much to pay the bills and to do the stuff, is an Ishmael. The church will not receive the real blessing because that Ishmael is there, broken. May God help us. Let's go back to the text. And in verse 5, because God saw what was going on in Abraham's heart, surely God could tell that this one, even though I say that the child will come from his own body, but he's looking at the natural. He's old, the wife is old. He said, no. The Lord took him outside and showed him the stars. Now we can tell the vision when Abraham got it. You won't see the stars in the sky during the day. It must be in the night. And the Lord asked him to count the stars if he's able to number them. Beautiful. Look how he was closer to God. God is taking your hand, take you outside and say, okay, look up in the sky and start counting the stars. And you tell me, what is the number of those stars? It was in the night. Abraham was not able to number them. There were so many. And the Lord confirmed to him that his descendant will be like the number of those stars. What a great blessing, a great promise. Not only that, the Lord asked him to do something, because Abraham, even though his eyes saw those stars, and he heard the promise, what the Lord will do, he asked another question to the Lord, asking how that will happen. Because he could not imagine how that will happen. And the Lord took him through a process of covenant. Abraham, interestingly, you're going to find out that he believed in verses, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur and of Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? The covenant started. The Lord said, bring these animals and cut them in two pieces. Leave them there and my glory will pass. The fire will come to burn it. You'll see my glory. Beautiful. You know what happened yesterday? Since you told me last Sunday, I was waiting on the Lord. Fasting and praying, waiting for the right message. Up to yesterday midnight, nothing came. So I prayed and said, Lord, well, I've been waiting on you and you gave me nothing. I'm tired. I'm going to bed. You can wake me up whenever you want and give me the message. Are you going to do it in a dream? Yes, I'm waiting. Whatever you're going to do, I'll do that. Because I hate standing in front of God's people and speak out of my experience of the years I've been in the ministry. So I felt like just reading something. I opened my book, and when I start reading, before closing my eyes and just fall asleep, and the Lord dropped the inspiration to my spirit, I jumped out of the bed, I opened my other Bible, and I start going deep into it. Before I realized, it was 16 minutes past 4 a.m. Waiting on the Lord is not easy, my brothers and sisters. And after soaking all this in my spirit, then I realized, oh, it was too late. Auntie will come to pick me up at 45 past 9. I didn't have much time to sleep. All this because of waiting on the Lord. But my case is easier compared to Abraham's one. He was awake in the night through that vision. He went through that experience of seeing the stars and got the recommendation to take the animals, cut them in two pieces, and expose them there. And then he sat to wait on the Lord. He sat there to wait on the Lord. Verse 12. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon him. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. He was sitting there waiting on the Lord. When the Lord spoke to him in the night, his wife Sarah was not there with him to hear what the Lord was telling him. Or she did not get that grace of seeing what he saw. Now, you who are in marriage, imagine the Lord visits you in the night. He speaks to you, he recommends you to do something, you do it, and then you sit there watching and waiting. What will happen? Isn't it your wife will ask you, what are you doing? When she wakes up in the morning, she will ask you, what all this is about? Say, yes, the Lord spoke to me. I'm waiting on the Lord. I wonder if he managed to have his breakfast. And I wonder if he managed to have his dinner. He could not move, I assume. He was there, waiting. 12 o'clock, waiting. 1 o'clock, waiting. 3 o'clock, waiting. When the sun start to go down, the time, it must be in the evening, when the sun start to go down. But now realize how stupid he appeared to his wife and his many servants. Maybe people were asking themselves, did really God spoke to him? Adonai, the one who cannot fail. When he promised you something,
that shall come to pass. And you are there sitting, watching, and waiting. Nothing is happening. Now put yourself in Abraham's shoes. What was the feelings in his heart? What kind of embarrassment he was feeling to be just there? And worse than sitting and waiting on the Lord, he was tired. He couldn't cope anymore. He started falling asleep in the evening. And indeed, he fell asleep.
My brothers and sisters in the Lord, that happens to me and you in many ways.
It's good to hear from the Lord, to receive a word from the Lord. It's good to know the vision, the dream of your life. It's a beautiful thing. But it's hard, really hard, to wait on Him. It's hard. It can take a day. It can take a month. You're waiting. It can take a year. It can take years. You're there waiting on Him. Waiting for Him to fulfill what He promised you to do. Are you going to be like Abraham? Sitting, waiting, and watching. Or are you going to rebel and look for a shortcut? As people are not bringing offering in the house of the Lord, let me put it, the basket there where they cannot reach easily and put the coins disappear. They have to throw the coins and feel ashamed. As I'm waiting for this man of my life, he's not coming. Okay, let me take anybody. I'll convert the man. You bring in Ishmael anointing in your life. And in the process of waiting, my beloved, people, even those who are trusting in you, they will stop trusting in you and abandon you. They will doubt and say, we've been trusting this person, but we come to the conclusion of the matter. God is not with him. The vision, he told us that he received it from the Lord. No, it wasn't the Lord. It was his own feelings. Let's go there where light are flashing. Let's go to Sodom. Let us go there. It's lovely. All the chairs in the church are filled with people. Youngest ones are not just four. There are plenty there. The youth is dynamic. The music is amazing. The atmosphere, it's good. Let us go there. Because here, empty seats every Sunday? No. Did really the Lord spoke to him? Amen. Without knowing that the man is waiting on the Lord. Indeed the Lord spoke. But the waiting time is always tough. Embarrassment will come. Self, inner conflict will come. Even yourself, you're going to put a question mark on what the Lord promised you. After all, no one was there. You were alone with God when He spoke to you. And in your heart, you know that it was the Lord. It wasn't your mind. It wasn't the flesh. But how can you prove it to people? How can you manage to get the the public opinion on your side. This is what the Lord has put in my heart to share with the church today. Whenever the Lord gives you a vision, a dream, don't wait for people to line up with your vision. Don't wait to see everybody subscribing on your vision. You don't need public opinion or approval for what the Lord told you to be authentic. It is, you know it in your heart. Even me, if you share your vision with me, today I can trust in it. But I won't have the same patience like you. Because when he spoke to you, I was not there. Tomorrow, I can walk away. Because that will come in my mind, and I'll say, no. Wait a minute. Am I in the right place? I heard this pastor teaching in Sheffield and saying, don't waste your money to give to a poor pastor. You have to be connected to the blessing of the one who is blessed to sow in a fertile ground. Meaning, if you give to a poor pastor, his life is not a fertile ground. You're losing what you've sown in his life. But when you give to the one who always catch the plan, business class, then you're connecting yourself to that blessing of business class. You can say it again, Pastor. And then he asked people to give money. And I saw people rushing there with the checkbooks. And, well, Rosa feeling like taking his Bible, teeth apart. And, it wasn't my church. What could I say? I sat there, powerless. And that's what you'll see people today, even in churches, saying, is your church blessed? They won't translate the blessing in its real meaning, but they will say, look what we have here. And look what is in your church. If you don't see in your church what is here, then run for your life. Come here. Amen. The embarrassment of waiting on the Lord. It's tough. But at the end of the day, Abraham did not quit waiting on the Lord. He did not quit. He got that horror, that darkness fell upon him. But through that darkness which fell upon him, he got an amazing visitation. The Lord unfolded the future before his eyes, revealed to him what will happen in the future for his generation. Remember, the Lord promised him that your offspring, your generation will be like your descendants will be as many as the stars. And then, in that darkness, the Lord revealed to him that, look, your descendant will rebel against me. And as a punishment, they will be taken to a foreign land as strangers. And the word stranger there is translated from the Hebrew, xenoi. And this word, the Greek xenoi, means a refugee. You don't know nothing about a refugee. I was born from refugee parent. Being born by refugee parents, I was automatically a refugee in Congo. I grew up with that shame of being a refugee. And when I was about to settle in the country, my tribe was chased away from Congo. Because the other people in the country referred my tribe to Rwanda, where my parents came from. I ended up here in your country. Again, as an asylum seeker. I got the papers of a refugee. Do you know the kind of trauma I went through? You have to live it. Because there is no word that I can use to tell you and express to you being a refugee, what it means. I don't like the smell of it. I don't like it at all. And when you go to Rwanda with the Congolese culture that you have, the native Rwandese look at you as a foreigner. Because you're doing things not like them. You're not dressing like them. You're not speaking the language. And even there, you find yourself again like a refugee. In 1995, when I went there, my fellow ministers, they referred to me like Congolese. Ooh, it was like an insult. Brothers, I'm trying to fit and to be one of you. Fit back in my root, the root of my parent. And then you're sending me back there in Congo. Praise God. My real city is waiting for me. There no one will call me an asylum seeker or a refugee. No one. And I can't wait to go there. I won't be embarrassed there. I won't be full of shame there. Abraham, he got that vision that his descendants will be treated as refugees in a foreign land. Oh, I believe that traumatized him. It was a horror to him to see that. I even guess that in that vision, in that dream the Lord showed him, he saw how they're going to suffer. Because the Lord said to him that the native will afflict your people. Maybe in that vision he saw how the Jewish were beaten, doing hard labor. And God was precise, telling him the number of years that they're going to spend there. 400 years. 400 years. Now, as a parent, imagine God telling you that your descendants will be like that. Slaves. for 400 years. Maybe for you, you don't get the picture, but for me, I get the picture. Telling me that my children will be refugees even for 1 year. That is killing me. It's really, really killing me to see my children living a life of refugees, of slaves. I'll be traumatized. It was indeed a dark thing that he could ever imagine. But thank God, the story did not end there. In verse 17, and it came to pass, then the sun went down, and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. Amen. The promise of God can take long. Don't quit on it. Wait. It shall come to pass. Amen. Don't be discouraged. People may run away from you. They can abandon you. Because according to the time, according to the watch, what you promised to deliver is not coming. They will go away. Be patient. Your God is not a liar. He's not a liar. He will fulfill every single word. And we saw it with the promise he gave to Abraham. His descendants became slaves in Egypt. And they spent those 400 years there. And after those 400 years, when you read your Bible, the Bible says, God said, he heard the cries. So he came down. I mean, he left his throne for a moment and came down to see how they're crying, how they're suffering, how they're mourning. And then he chose Moses as a deliverer to deliver them. No one can mess up with God. These people who are messing around thinking that God does not exist, they're making the biggest mistake of their life. The biggest mistake of their life. And people who are mocking men of God, because according to their own watch, what men of God promised them is not coming, and then they pull men of God down on the floor, mess around with their reputation, they're playing with fire. They're playing with fire. My prayer for you, brothers and sisters, is that you hold on to what the Lord has promised you. And as a church, you have promises. I believe our pastor has shared a vision of the church with you. You know all the details. I think I'm the only one who need the catch up to know that vision as well. God is faithful. The church can go through all kind of seasons. People can come and leave. But the vision for the church will be fulfilled. Not on the pastor's watch, but on God's watch. We can pray and fast. We can sit there, wait on the Lord and watch. Nothing will happen on our time. Only God's time will decide everything. But the reality is that everything will happen. So if we are waiting to see everybody lining up to our vision, we have to stop it. And just continue to trust in the Lord. Tell Him, Lord, You promised this to our church. Father, it's taking long. We know You cannot lie. Do it for us. Consider our shame. Consider our tears. Consider our suffering. Lord, do it for us. Please, do it for us. Do it for us, Lord. And the Lord will do it. He will. As a church, what we have to do is to support one another. We are a family. To stand one for the other. My sister, in your dream, if you share it with me, I have to stand with you in that vision. Whenever you feel that you are tired, I have to be there to give you a shoulder to cry on. And tap your back telling you, keep moving forward. Don't sit down. Don't move backward. Keep going forward. God is God. And we have to do the same thing with our leader. Because we know the vision of the church. And we have to encourage our leaders saying, we are standing with you. Keep moving on. Your God is my God. Your God is my God. He cannot lie. He cannot deceive. He shall fulfill it in good season. Amen. Are we blessed? Thank God. Thank God. Well, as a conclusion, the song told us that through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to... Can you play it again, just a little bit? Because I want to get the word accurately. Through everything, through all the seasons, she learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Amen. And now I can testify. You won't get a testimony without going through it all. All those seasons of crying. You have to go through them. As a church, the season when people, one by one, are deserting the church. People are saying awful things against the church. It's a must. You have to go through that season. But one day, the smoke will come down and pass in between the pieces, the offering. The glory of God will come. And you will look where to put people. You'll have to move out from these premises and get this one. big enough to accommodate thousands of members. Big enough to have offices for all our ministers. Big enough to have the facilities. I can't wait for that day when Bill will not have to fold the equipment and store them somewhere. They'll be there, remaining there. Because it's ours. But before getting to this, we have to go through all those seasons of people leaving the church and calling names to the church, calling names to the ministers and to members. Hang on there. Be strong. Be strong. Hold on to the vision. Adonai, oh Lord, 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 He is your shield. He will not fail you. He will not fail you. Hold on to the vision. Hold on to the dream. And may God bless you all.